tonight. I'm gonna have myself a real good time.
It feels alive.
My name is Victoria Ketty, and you are listening to WGXC, Accra, 90.7 FM.
I'm George Spencer. On Tuesday, from 4 to 6 p.m., Pauline DiCarmo and I will have our bi-monthly program on the afternoon show. At 4 p.m., we'll be talking with Gordon Skerritt. Gordon is a spiritual teacher and mindfulness counselor based in Hudson. He is also the author of an epic spiritual fantasy book for children of all ages titled Ling and Lobo and the Udumbra Flower. We'll be talking about his teaching experiences and his recent writing activities. At 5 p.m., Scout Pines, also known as Brian Bruno, and I will be on the air. Unfortunately, Pauline will not be with us for this show. Scout and I will be talking about how and where he grew up, the importance of marginalized people in his development as an artist. We'll also talk about his current art, solo art show at Thompson Giroux in Chatham and his interest in music. We're very excited to have two such interesting guests. Tune in and hear what they have to say. Thank you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Shea Masterson of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Okay, folks, it's going to be a hot one. Be sure to drink lots of water today, empty out those dehumidifiers, and while you're at it, don't forget about the pets that are out there. Chance of rain and thunderstorms will be with us on this hot and oppressively humid day. We will see temperatures rise from 70 this morning to the 80s by 10 a.m. and then the 90s by 3 p.m. Dew points will be in a quite uncomfortable mid-70s overnight as temperatures drop to the mid-60s, but the air will hold on to the mugginess. Tomorrow will be more comfortable with a dew point in the mid-60s and a high temperature of 85. For the boaters out there enjoying the river, high tide will be at 5:57 a.m. and 6:25 p.m. Low tide will be at 12:41 p.m. Water temperature is currently in the morning around 78 degrees Fahrenheit. Looking beyond the clouds, we see Earth is currently nestled in the gap between two solar wind streams. Soon we will enter the new stream flowing from the southern hemisphere of the sun. Current wind speed is 358 kilometers per second at 7.2 protons per milliliter.
You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Welcome to Noise in the Megacity. I'm Paulus Van Horn.
Thank you.
Let me start by saying, you cannot say anything definite about noise. It's slippery, but we're going to talk about it anyway. All right, let's define a few terms. Megacities. They have about, give or take, 10 million people, and it's pretty hard to count how many people are in a city. What's the boundary of a city like New York? Does it go all the way to Westchester? Does it come all the way up to here, beautiful Accra, New York? Who knows? Well, actually, a few people have some opinions, but they're all fighting at the moment. The count varies, but there's about 40 of these megacities in the world. And for reference, there's only two in the United States. There's New York and LA, Chicago, any of the other big cities you can think of, not even close. But the simple fact of city life is noise. Some of you may have even fled the city and are listening up here trying to, I don't know, get away from it all, get away from all that noise. And if so, I'm sorry, because we're diving deep into it today. Here's some sounds from London that I recorded in 2017. It's a semi-pro football match. Much to say about that one just yet, but we'll get to it. If we're going to be talking about noise this whole hour, I think it's probably best to get a little working definition of what noise even is, because I think a lot of us actually know quite well what we think it is, but if you actually ask someone what is noise, you're going to get a lot of different answers. So, my working definition, and it's far from perfect, is the following. Noise is sound that we don't listen to. Or maybe to take it one step further, noise is sound that we don't want to listen to. It's not perfect, again, but it gets at a couple things that I think are going to be really important. Noise is sound, obviously. It's something that we don't want. There's a preference in there. And if there's a preference, it's going to be different both culturally and by place and context. And then there's an aspect of listening. You actually have to engage with noise in one way or another. If you don't hear it, I don't think it's really noise at all. We're going to go from that London soccer match, which you can imagine, if you were a newly minted resident of just around the football stadium, you wouldn't be so happy if these men yelling drunkenly every two or three days. You wouldn't be super happy about that. But then again, it is a bit of a national pastime over there, so maybe we'll get to some real noise now. This is construction at the Tottenham Court Cross rail station, which is one of the biggest infrastructure projects currently going on in all of Europe. So here's a little bit of that, again from 2017. London is a city under construction, like most megacities, really. And, you know, there's a slight difference in our attitudes towards sound on an individual level. Like I was talking about that resident that just moved just outside of the football stadium, and perhaps the person that might be living right on Tottenham Court Road. Those people experiencing the noise are one thing, and those attitudes of towards noise are very valid. There is a how would I say it? It is a disruptive force in their life. But on a systematic level, if we sort of zoom out, noise is actually very much accepted in London. Despite all of the attitude towards silence, this kind of construction is accepted, as with all of the high-rises that are going up in the city, because it is in the service of profit, often. And in fact, I actually talked with the noise control team, which is a thing there, part of the EPA, in the central part of London, which is called the City of London, the very central financial district. And although I can't use the audio from that because it was told to me just on background, but they were very clear that their mission is not really about environment in the sort of natural sense, but in terms of preserving the city's soundscape just enough that people can still go to work, and this is basically their words, go to work and continue to drive the financial system of the city, and the country as a whole being the biggest one. I thought it was so interesting. I almost wanted to ask the person again, like, did you mean to say that? And they were clear. That is their mission statement. They're not really here for the individual person who is annoyed by sound. No, they're here for profit. And that's something that we'll probably get back to. But just back to the Tottenham Court Road example, I was walking around this massive construction site, and you can imagine there's trees of security cameras up. And I finally went sort of to the entry site to the construction site, and I was talking to the security guard, or the person who's watching everyone come in and come out. And I said, like, hey, just on a total whim, Can I come in and record? Like, knowing that they'd probably say no. But I had my recorder in my hand. And I think the reaction really said something to me, because he started accusing me of being one of these residents that is annoyed by the noise. The very start of this is cut off, but let's see if you can make it out. Let's start that again.
Get the noise so that you can write the council that we are disturbing the vibration that comes from is disturbing the levels and not fit for human. Yeah, I know what you are doing.
No.
Hold on, sir. Are you ready, sir?
May I have please advice?
Have you done your finger? Sorry, boss. See? Go out. I will let you right out. Go out.
So I'm not sure if you caught that, but he said, like, I know what you're doing. You're recording to go to the council and say that, you know, to make some big case, which says probably two things to me. One, people have probably done it already. But the second is that there's already this suspicion and this protection of this site, which to a huge extent I get. There's a lot of terrorism that happens in London. I was detained a couple times for recording. But it was so funny that the guard jumped straight to that the sheer act of listening to noise in the city, when it's really in the service of profit or infrastructure, just by listening to it and recording it, you're already suspicious. Actually, when I was in, this was again in very nearby, in one of the main train stations, the London Bridge Underground Station, And I was recording, I swear to goodness, I was recording an escalator. It had this like polyrhythm to it. I had to delete the recording, as you'll find out why in a second. But it had this sort of like squeaking on one escalator and a thumping on the other one. And it created this rhythm that I was grooving to. And I was there, I was watching the recorder, so I know exactly how long I was there. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. And then I turned off my recorder. I took the escalator up one stairs. And at the top of the escalator was a security person. She said, "You have to come with me. I've gotten 4 reports about suspicious behavior right here." And it was about me. It was not some other person doing something suspicious somewhere else. I was standing there with a sound recorder and headphones in London Bridge Station, which admittedly had just had a bombing within the last 6 weeks outside. But noise and listening to it becomes its own suspicious act. And it's something that people don't understand. There's not much of a culture, even though London has the BBC and all of these ways of listening to and appreciating sound, walking around with a recorder is suspicious. I just find that so funny, right? Well, we're going to take a little break, play some music. This is Purling Whir by Daniel Ditlifson, a really lovely noise artist out of Cleveland. And then I'll be back with a little bit more noise for you.
Hello, my testing. Hello.
Hello, Chick. This is they ask for the money for the make a temple for the god.
Is it not particular?
It's like politicians, because there is a big problem in the Hindu and Muslim people. So that's the reason they are come here and make
a room.
No. So they just
came here. We're back. It's WGXC Accra 91. 90.7 FM. Spending too much time at too many different radio stations, you can tell maybe. That was a little recording I made in Delhi, India, not Delhi. Just a public setup, this stage in the middle of the street, people just obviously checking the sound system. That was the person saying hello, hello, hello. But there was a little interest at the end of that, where I was talking to a man that was just standing next to me. I was asking, you know, what's happening here? And it turns out it was really a political event, although it was sort of cloaked in religion or religious animosity. I'm not sure if we'll get into the ways in which that might be defined or understood through the lens of noise, but I love that recording, so I thought I'd share it with you. What I am going to share with you that is about noise is an interview that I did with a town planner in Delhi, India. His name is Professor Ashok Kumar, and he has a specialty in the rights of slum dwellers, in these citizens who live in a very precarious situation of being allowed to stay in this area because it's been left derelict, but they can be removed at any time. They have basically no rights in this situation, or at least they have rights contingent on, you know, whenever the government decides that they're an eyesore. The conversation with Ashok Kumar, let me make sure that I'm saying his name right.
Ashok Kumar. My name is Ashok Kumar.
Oh.
And I am professor and head department of housing.
Yeah, so he has an official title as well, but I met him in his office. He was about to teach a class. And we had this whole conversation about what the slums mean in Delhi and the ways in which, you know, the government has failed and the lack of rights of these people. But at the very end, I had told him about this project that I was doing in terms of looking for noise and looking for different attitude towards it. And, you know, I just decided, why don't I ask him, what is noise? And you'll hear him sort of figuring out his answer in real time. So it'll be, you know, it's not a paragraph. It's a thought, or it's a series of thoughts. But I did find it quite interesting, and we'll pick out some things afterwards after we listen to this.
For me, noise and silence goes together. I think silence also has something to say. Like, noise has a lot of things to say. and have implications for us and the nature. Silence also. I regard silence is not outside of noise. It is when I keep silent, I am still saying something. If noise means saying something. This is one. And I think perhaps you could read that author, French. I will send you that name. I'm not able to recall. He talks about voices to noises. That means voices are rights bearing voices. That means when I speak, someone is there to listen and comply with my legitimate needs, etc. Voices means it is lost, although I can shout quite a bit, but no one is there to listen. So when I think of, again, I was trying to apply these ideas to the poorer sections here in Delhi. Slum people have make a lot of noise, but they don't have a voice, which implies effectively I can't transform any policy. But I can make a lot of noise. In planning, generally we have talked about noise pollution.
Yes.
We don't go into these philosophical nuances. We simply think in terms of decibels and why these are high or low and how these could be reduced and how these could have lesser impact on our health and well-being. That kind of idea has been made part of planning since about 70s and 80s. Prior to that, we never discussed noise pollution. We were more concerned about land pollution, water pollution, that kind of thing we were discussing.
I'm interested.
Noise can be spatialized. I must say this because if you think of old Delhi and the kind of noises that you hear in that part of the world, those noises are very different from the noises that you hear in the New York Stock Exchange. Those are almost voices, and here these are people are workers are in such miserable condition that they, when they are picking up things, they are making some noise. When they are moving, they are making some noise. And similar noise, of course, the mechanism is same at New York Stock Exchange also. But then the kind of noise they are making is making millions. And here, you are barely able to survive. So from that standpoint also, when I say spatialize, you can relate it, you can think of noise in terms of space, and distinct noises. I'm not thinking in terms of different language or accent. Your accent is different from mine. My English is rather rudimentary. I'm not thinking in that sense. I'm thinking there are specific spaces that allow production of different kind of noises and have different consequences. I should rather stop there, not saying good or bad. And these are very different, and different policies can be adopted to handle these issues. Planning has not really handled this issue.
Yeah, they've gone into noise pollution, but not really in terms of...
No, they generally don't specialize. Even if they do, they think of absolute space, space like a container where things can be done to something. I can change this room, but something can be changed by this room in me also. Reverse is also possible. At a city level also, similar things can happen. That is the old tradition of science, Western science more specifically, that we treat a space as absolute space.
And something to be changed.
Something to be controlled, changed, designed, planned. Planners specifically, we call it land use planning, where we are the masters. We do things to nature.
Yeah.
Nature doesn't come back, but that is not true.
Yeah.
Nature does come back, and we are seeing things now at a global level, climate change, etc. Nature is coming back very forcefully.
And now we have to learn how to play out in a different way.
We have to, yeah. Certainly we have to. And we haven't made much effort and investment in this direction, at least in developing countries, because we are still dealing with the basic issues of sanitation, of water, and so on. But I don't see any big attempts being made in the Western countries also. We are changing more and more through technology, and emphasis is on green technologies. That is fine, that is good, but more than that is required, I think, if we have to handle, because momentous changes are taking place globally. And in the US, we have seen just now 2-3 incidents. I relate those to climate change also. I am not a scientist. People can tell much better about these
things. All
right,
he starts getting a little bit off topic here, and I think he realizes
it. So nice talking to you.
It was so wonderful. Thank you so much. I
would love to know.
And he ends the interview there. You know, it's funny, when I talked as I was traveling to people about noise, everyone wanted to say something about it, and maybe it wasn't perfectly formed. The idea wasn't necessarily 100% baked through, but there was a couple things in there. I feel like I could write a dissertation on every, like, the 7 ideas he brought up there. But that difference between voices having rights and those who just make noise are not considered voices. They're not considered human in a way. I think the space of 1 hour is probably too short to try to untangle the kind of quagmire of what that could mean and what that could be applied to. But I think suffice it to say that it does connect to that idea of noise and profit, that in fact we will, on a systematic level, will let noise be if it is making millions, if it is making money, in a way that on a systematic level, again, not individual, that the noise of the visual noise, this sort of cultural noise, this sound of the slums are let to exist because their value is pretty low. And I think that has quite a bit to do with noise. The second part that I thought was really fascinating with what Professor Kumar brought up in his slightly rambling answer was what he called the spatialization of noise. The way I think of it is place, that noise actually means very little without place. And I really struggled in putting together this program because I spent an entire year looking for noise. And even the act of putting it on the radio in out of context, by definition, it feels sort of, it loses a lot of the power. So I really tried to pick the right sounds, but in the end, it really is always based on place. The noises of Tottenham Court Station are going to be much more annoying to the people who live there than to us, and myself as a noise artist, or whatever you want to call what I do with sound. I like those sounds, or I find some interest in them. I hear the kind of work truck that's going by. I hear the cement mixer, the way that the backing up of one of those trucks is not the traditional beep that we recognize. You know, the beep, 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 beep. It was actually a burst of white noise, which is designed, I learned, to not carry very far, so that if you're behind it, you know that there's a truck backing up with this ch ch ch. But the people that live nearby won't hear it because that sound doesn't travel as far, or we're not as attuned to it as the beep. Those are the things that I notice about what might be considered noise locally, but it becomes some sort of pleasant aesthetic sound to me because I find the information in it. And perhaps that's it. Wherever you are, the noise is probably going to be worse at the source, in context. But if you treat it as sound, if you listen to it, it becomes something different. And certainly when you rip it from its context and you play it over the radio. Maybe some of you listening are not so interested in the aesthetics of noise, so perhaps it's all noise to you. But either way, perhaps as you're listening throughout the day and you think about those sounds that annoy you, perhaps there's a little bit more there. Perhaps the reason you're annoyed by it has nothing to do with sound, but has to do with the person making it or what the noise means. Just something to think on. We're going to go now from Delhi, again, not Delhi, but Delhi, India, to Calcutta. And something that I noticed about Calcutta specifically is that even the local residents consider it a city in decline, despite the fact that it is actually growing. And it should be noted that, like many of the megacities in India, it was a seat of colonial power. So there are a lot of similar attitudes and cultural things about how we talk about the city or how locals talk about the city that I find sort of reflected from English or, you know, the British Empire or the British way of seeing sound. So as you hear an interview that I'll play in a moment, you might notice there's a sort of tension happening that he likes his city, my friend Subhu, but he also has a lot of issues with it. Let's just introduce Supu. I also had trouble, you know, learning his name, so we'll just play it.
It's Supu.
Okay. Let's start that again.
Supu.
It's Supu.
Okay, so the emphasis on the...
Place. Exactly. Yeah. Supu.
Supu. Okay, close enough. We'll go with that. So I interviewed him on the side of the road. As we walked by one of his favorite electronics marts, because he's actually also a sound artist, noise curator, however you want to put it. And I was just curious, like, could you tell me a little bit about the sound of Calcutta? So here's a little bit of that conversation. And as you can imagine, it being on the side of a street in Calcutta, there's a little bit of background noise, but it's part of the whole thing, so enjoy.
Even the way we talk on the road, and it's very abrasive. I mean, people would love to call Bengalis and, like, you know, people of Kolkata, they're like, really calm, quiet. That might be the case, but, you know, it's abrasive on all the fronts. Like when you are actually exploring the city, when you're actually delving deep into the city, it's abrasive. Yeah, you're constantly being, like, you know, you're constantly being assaulted by loudness. Like, by cars, buses, like, people generally. Like, you know, people just might start shouting over, like, you know, over little things, you know, they just lose their, like, you know, calmness and things. So, yeah, but that's the same for every city. I mean, I don't know about New York, but it might be the same there. I mean, people just start...
It's overwhelming in one way or another.
Exactly. That's what cities are meant to do. I mean, just can't expect cities to be like, oh, this whole oasis of, like, you know, well-being and, you know, all around, like, you just center your chakras and, like, you know, things like that in a city. No, you can't. You can't. That's, like, that's bullshit. Also, like, you know, there are some areas which are, like, you know, a bit secluded. I mean, you know, those gated community sort of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those are for, you know, them posh, you know, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like about Calcutta?
Yeah, I was born here. I mean, I don't have such specific things to like about the city. I just like the city. I mean, there's obviously a love-hate relationship with the city. I mean, I don't know who loves their place of birth or the place they're currently living in with all their heart and with all their, like, you know, from the deepest of their soul. I mean, there has to be some aspects which you hate. There has to be some aspects which you love. You might love the food. You might love the people. You might hate, like, I mean, you know, the general pollution or noise levels or whatever. Yeah, so that's there. And I like the food. I like the people over here. I mean, there's a marked difference between people from Calcutta and people from Delhi and things. But it's the same. I mean, it's the same. It's not that different. Yeah, the language might be a bit different. The way people, like, talk or the way people might present themselves to outsiders, that might be a bit different. But then again, it's the same on, you know, the very basic.
All right, it looks like the last bit of that got cut off, but you get the point. I love Supu, and his music is really interesting too. It's almost all released on cassette, so it's a little bit hard to get the full sense of what's going on that you would if you were actually in Calcutta and you saw a show of his. But, you know, it really is. It is something special. And I think I'll actually play a little bit of his music now. The project of his is called Jessup and Co. It's actually it's a local truck company that has their loading bay apparently very near his house. So he decided to start a noise project named after it. I'll read the liner notes first, because I think they're quite interesting, and then we'll go right into it. Jessup & Co. presents Fresh Pond Fish, a documentation of a night of plundering the internet for the representations of the ethnic. These samples are violently contrasted with each other in order to highlight the cooperative incapability and the distressed mindset of the plunderers. There's two in Jessup & Co., just so you know. Telling a tale of deviated matrimonial failure, fostering scandals from the public, and an ode to the hopeless and somewhat comical drunkenness, which permeates into a dissonant heckling of sorts, achieving temporal incoherence and tiny specks of futile fulfillment, which forms the eye phlegm that retains the essence of fresh pond fish. Well, looks like that'll take a second to get up and running, so we'll go with it. Oh no, I think I got it.
Thank you.
I could listen to that all day. Not sure about you, but I could, certainly. I don't have any grand wrap-up statement about noise, because, like I said at the beginning, it's slippery noise, and it's incredibly context-dependent. Even people from different disciplines will define it differently. I'm sure any of you who are scientists out there, or broadcast engineers, have a different definition of what noise is. Than, you know, some of us artists and musicians and such. But I will give you a statement on noise from the one, the only, John Cage. This is from basically the first page of his collected essays entitled Silence, and this part is called The Future of Music, Credo. I believe that the use of noise, wherever we are, whatever we hear is mostly noise. When we ignore it, it disturbs us. When we listen to it, we find it fascinating. The sound of a truck at 50 miles per hour, the static between stations, rain. We want to capture and control these sounds, to use them not as sound effects, but as musical instruments. Each film studio has a library of sound effects recorded on film. That's a bit dated. With a film phonograph, it is now possible to control the amplitude and frequency of any one of these sounds and to give it rhythm within or beyond the reach of imagination. You know, he was really pretty forward-thinking, this guy, John Cage. We're maybe not quite there in the music industry, but perhaps that's a function of what we talked about a little bit earlier, the connection between noise and profit. Only certain noise is profitable. So, I wish I could give you some grand thesis statement or conclusion statement about what noise is or what it means or how we should listen to it, but it's not really about that. All I can say is that noise is about place and time and people. It's always about people. There is no noise without us calling sound noise. It's a value judgment, and therefore it's based on your values, and those aren't absolute in any way. Hate to say it, but we're nearing the end, not of time, just of this show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will go out on some noises from Mexico City around the Roma Sur area. These are things that I heard basically out of my window every few days. People selling tamales. Now I'm forgetting all of the other things, but hopefully you'll hear them, especially if you know a little bit of Spanish. So enjoy.
Bonafont, Electro Puro.